The Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Good evening and welcome to Desert Island Discs. I'm Flavia Tumasime. My guest tonight is one who's taken a career in academia. Between 1998 until 2000, he worked as a lecturer in the Department of Mathematics at Makerere University, the same university where he eventually served as vice chancellor until 2012. Today, he owns and runs Uganda Technology and Management University and has also contested for the highest office in the country, which is the presidency. Our chat is with Professor Dr. Bariamadeva Venasius. I want us to start your story anywhere when you were young and throw us there. Let's start your journey.
I'm a Catholic. Our home is close to the church.
Yeah.
And also it's close to even the hospital, even the secondary. Then it is Kagongo Parish. And at that time, all those places had whites. They would come and visit
missionaries.
Us, like the doctors from the hospital.
Yeah.
The priests, the brothers were at even the secondary. They would come and visit us. Now, one thing happened. Whenever they would come and visit us, they would ask us to buy them eggs from the village.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 5 years, I went to school to study. I found at school the same eggs, but at half price.
Okay.
And that's the first thing that really changed in my life. I went back home. I told my dad I want to do business. He said, what? I want to buy eggs from school. And he gave me money.
Wow.
So I went to school, bought all the eggs.
At what age is this?
5 years.
Jeez.
Then I had people who were carrying for me. They carried the eggs. And we came. I went to the doctors. They bought. Then the balance, I took it to the bars. And still sold, not at double the price, but at like 50% profit.
Everything was finished. That's still a lot. Yeah.
I paid off the guys who carried for me.
Wow.
The following day, I went to school and did the same thing.
Hey.
After 1 week, I had paid off my dad and had my capital.
Wow.
So I continued doing that business, making money for the whole of my primary education. And then after that, I had already now enjoyed business.
And money.
I started farming because I saw that our home was near even the secondary school. And there were other schools around. And these people always looking for sugar cane.
Okay.
And the yellow bananas and so on. So we had a lot of land. And I grew all that stuff.
And you started?
Yes. After P7, I did that in the holidays. When I went to school, my mom kept looking after them.
Oh, wow.
And then, when they were ready, I started making money. In the evening, all students from the secondary would come to our place who wanted sugarcane. They would come and buy from us.
And
made money.
But you see, when you're young at five, because I can imagine now at my age, I would overthink it. You know, many of us who have gone to school overthink things. You want to put too much paperwork and theories. But at five, at six, how are you able to know that, okay, I've made profit here and now I'm going to do this? How do you even know to expand your business? What are you thinking of?
But I was dealing with basic stuff. It's like, we've been buying eggs. I knew what the price was because we were being given money.
Yeah.
Of course, I had elder brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
I would go with them in the village and know how much this it would cost. So when I went to school, I saw the same things and was interested. That's the price. And it was half price.
So you were just, it was 1 + 1 = 2. There was nothing complicated. Yes. You were just enjoying to make an extra buck.
Even at 5 years of age,
it's the same
thing. I was very good in math. Before I even went to school. Because we had a banana plantation. My dad would take bananas to even the secondary, to even the teacher training college and other places there, to sell. And I would see him make these computations in the head, and I was inquisitive. How are you doing it? So he would always show me how he does it in the head.
In the head,
so I knew how to count. Even
no school. Complicated books. Just counting in his head.
And I kept with that math.
Up to today.
You know, when I went to university, I did math 3-1-1. After that, I did a master's in math. And then after that, I did a master's in computer science, PhD in computer science.
Do you believe that the success of doing business is inborn or it can be learned? In hindsight, now that you started at five.
I mean, it is both. It's about interest.
Okay.
And I think to do business, you must take risk. And I have seen many people are really not good at taking risk.
Yep.
The other thing I've realized that a good number of people lack is the ability to take a decision.
Oh.
Even when I was at Makerere University, the decision I would think it is so basic. You find people, they are telling you can't make that decision. And for me, whenever I would consult and my mind is made up, I have to take that decision, regardless of the consequences. And it's something people are not good at.
Taking a decision.
Yes, and that is very, very important in business.
Ah.
Because you can delay a decision for even 1 hour and it costs you your whole business.
Right. Dad and mom, what were they doing? Because you said dad was doing a bit of business.
You know, my father was a very bright guy. And I think he was the best lawyer who never went to school at our village. People would come to him to consult him and would give them advice. Even people are trained lawyers. You know, he was so good. But he stopped in P3. They went to fight in the Second World War. He was one of those guys who fought.
Wow.
And by the time the war ended, and then Hirayat actually was too old. Because by the time you go to school at that time, they would go to school when they are old.
Older,
not at 5 or 10.
Yeah.
So then he was too old and he remained in Kampala, working for about, I think, 5 years. Then he got his money and went back to the village.
Right.
My mom never went to school, but they both knew what it meant to go to school.
Yes.
They were always telling us, you need to study, you need to study, you know. Those are the memories I have of them. And one of the things my dad told us was that, I'll not leave you with any inheritance. The inheritance is just your education. If you don't study, that's it. He meant it.
He was making things for himself.
And he made sure that we don't even split our land when he dies.
Wait, what?
He left it in the way that we can never share his land. The land is there for all of us. You can't go there and say, this is mine.
My portion, give me, let's say.
You know, when I was younger, I didn't know why he called me Bariamreva. When I went to school and I started studying in P1, he was telling people. They would sit and when they are drinking the alcohol, I would be around them. You will see my son. You will see my son.
One day.
You will see my son. So when I came back from school, I had my report. And luckily enough, I was the best in class. Wow. And then when I took them, say, you see, I told you. Then I tried to find out what he meant. I told you.
He pushed a from confidence that time, on you.
Then I had to work hard. This is what I'm always the best.
You're number what with your siblings?
I was the second last born.
A mix of boys and girls?
Yes, we are 3 boys, 3 girls.
Oh, perfection.
Yes.
Are you the crazy one, the quiet one? Couldn't be quiet because in the first few minutes of being here in studio, we were laughing.
Yeah. Well, we all talk a lot.
Okay, you're all the same.
But we differ in terms of character. For me, when I make up my mind on something, I don't easily change. I learned that I have to take my own decision. That was
good. Good or bad, you take the decision.
Yes.
What is your first song's choice?
My first song is Get Up, Stand Up by Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you always have to get up and stand up for what you believe in.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter is going.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. We just listened to Get Up, Stand Up from the late Bob Marley. And it's the first song choice for Professor Venantius Bariamureba. They Will See Him.
Yes.
Right? When you're describing yourself, I know titles mean a lot to Ugandans.
Mm.
Which resonates more with you?
In that, which
outside of when people say you're the former Avisi of Makere, what what do you believe is what describes you the most?
In terms of what describes me best, it's actually what I did at Makere University.
Right.
What I did for the institution describes me best.
Mm.
So, but in terms of title, really, because at Makere University, I was a director, dean, and then vice chancellor.
Oh, wow.
But what describes me most is like when I was abroad, and when I finished my PhD, my dissertation was the best dissertation at my university and had all sorts of job offers, both in Europe, that is Norway, and also the US. And then finally, they wanted me to work basically. When I was started doing my master's, I started working. They found me to be so good in math, so I was lecturing.
Right.
Yeah. When I finished, then had those offers. And the issue was I was supposed to be earning like $10,000 a month. Then I told them, I want to first go back to Uganda for 2 years to work at Makere, because Makere University gave me study leave. I got into Makere University employment immediately after my bachelor's. The results had not come out. I finished in June. In July, Professor Santos Delet hired me without the results, but he knew the results would come out. I started working.
And he knew what the results would look
like. When the results
like.
Came out, I had passed. So they gave me the appointment later. So
how do you, because I mean I get the knack for business at a young age, at 5 years and all of that, and you're saying I put the sugar cane here, I get that point, but that's business. But you always knew, even from your parents, that education was going to be very important. Talk to me about your school life.
When I was in primary, I never used to read a lot.
Okay.
But I would pass. But when I got to secondary schools, I realized actually I always need to be the best. So I was reading all the time. At the same time, I was coaching other students. So I was always benefiting, because I remember my colleagues who never used to revise with other students, they would think they know the answer, and they, when the results come out, they have failed because I never practiced it. But for me, it was helping others. I would always find out, hey, this is not the right way to do it.
Yes.
So now when it comes in the exam, I know how to do it the right way.
Yes.
And then, you know, at that time I had the garden, you remember? Of sugar cane
and
all
bananas,
that stuff.
Yes.
The money was enough. But then out of that coaching, I realized I could actually make money.
Wow.
So when I went back for senior five, I started making money. I started actually
coaching students
and then charging them. Senior six, the same thing. So when I finished my senior six, I went back home. Ivan is my home.
Yes.
Ivan the second never had good teachers. So I went to that school with the intention of coaching the students. I went and taught students in senior two, senior three. The students spread the gospel to senior five, senior six, senior four. Say, you people,
if you want to pass,
you have, we have a guy here. This guy knows what he's doing. So, in the next 2 days...
And were you doing this with the knowledge of the school, or this is your sidecar thing?
No, I was doing it for free for that first week.
Okay.
So, on the third day, the senior five, senior six students approached me. And I went there and told them. They were so excited. By the fourth day, head teacher looked for me.
Ah, wow.
And then said, hey, the students say they like
you're
you.
You're good, yeah.
You know how to teach. Can we engage you? I said, yes. How much can you take on?
Hey.
I said, for me, I can work from 5 a.m. in the morning up to midnight every day.
Jeez. What subject were you teaching?
So they gave me senior two up to senior six, math, physics, chemistry, my PCM combination.
Jeez.
So I taught all those students from senior two up to senior six. They had their lecturers on the payroll, but I was not doing the actual teaching.
What?
Yes. And when I did that, you know how much money they paid me? Was earning twice what a professor at Makere University was earning.
No way.
Yes. Now, I did that in the vacation. When I went to Makere University for my bachelor's degree, they asked me, now what are we going to do? I said, I would come and teach. Thursday after lectures, I would leave for Uganda. I teach Thursday night. I teach Friday. I teach Saturday. I teach Sunday. Monday very in the morning, I would come back to Kampala. But you know what the trick was? When I joined Makere University, I decided to be the class monitor, class representative
head,
for
the
my
head,
class.
Yes.
So I would work with the head of department and the lecturers on the timetable. And
smart.
Ensure there were no lectures on Friday and Monday.
Very smart.
So that's how I survived.
Yes.
For 3 years. I did
so
that.
So because you at Makere, you were doing math.
Yes.
Which to any other person's mind, math is already a problem. But here you were teaching and then also having to pass your own.
Yes.
At Makere.
And I passed. And so when I finished, they gave me a job at Makerere. They gave me a job at Chambogo. I still continued teaching in the village.
Hey.
I also started a secondary school in the village. And I was doing all those four. And at that time, they were not stopping any public servant from working more than one institution.
Ah, okay, okay.
That's why members of parliament had also jobs being in the government. Mm. So, but after some time, they said, no, you cannot have two jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that until August 1995.
My.
That's when I left and went abroad for my master's. Because again, when I was doing all that, I was also studying a master's at Makerere. In that period.
But after my bachelor's,
I started immediately. The time was like I was sleeping for only a maximum of 4 hours a day.
Of course.
And I was okay.
You were happy?
Monday through Sunday. And even when I came back with my PhD, by the way, if I can't remember anybody, maybe the person I remember that worked so hard was Professor Wobi.
Where did you do your PhD from?
University of Bergen in Norway. There, the guys work from 8 to 5, they leave office. Mm. But when I went to the States, because most of my research was done in the US, I would go to the US like every, like 6 months every year. So I would go to Rice University in Texas, I would go to Stanford University for my research.
Yes.
So I would work with the professors there. Then the culture there was also different. Some of those guys would work long
through,
hours.
Yeah.
Yes.
You must have known at some point, Professor, that you were different, unique in your own way.
I only had it from my dad.
Okay.
But maybe I lived up to that.
Yeah.
When you are naming your children,
you have to
give
them good
names.
Cognizant of that, yeah.
You know, we had somebody in our village called Vyokunaga. You know Vyokunaga?
Yes. This, to be thrown, to be dumped.
During that time of the Indians, he had a lot of money. He had the best houses in the village. Shops. He lost everything. There's another friend of mine who has a bad name which he got from his dad. But I see issues.
They live up to the name, basically.
Yeah, they're always coming for him. Eh? Mm. One of these days, I'm going to advise him to drop that name. He's a very prominent person, but I want to mention his name.
Humorous. We want to agree with you. What's the name?
They say, what is in the name?
Oh, my word.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like now, you know, I have two daughters. You know what their names are? One is Kopu Gavi, another one is Kabakama.
Good, wonderful.
So they are, you know?
So that they can live up to their name.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Kobugab is the princess. Kabakam is a princess, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm inquisitive on what happened to the business end of things, but first let's business get your second song.
My second song, I think, is When a Man Loves a Woman by Percy Sledge. You know, that's one other lesson I learned.
Okay.
You know, we men, at times we can be blind.
At times.
At times.
All times. Prof, you wear glasses.
You feel like you have fallen for a woman or you have the woman. You set aside everything else.
Yeah.
Even if anybody tells you that lady you can't marry or you can't be with. And I saw it with so many boys I had at Makerere. They were falling for girls and they tell them, that one. You know, some of them never married those ones. Others still insisted and married them. But again, later on, the experiences were different.
So when a man
loves a woman.
Okay.
When a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He changed the world for a good thing he's found. If she is bad, he can see it. She can do no wrong. Put her down.
Island Discs on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Desert Island Discs, Professor Maria Mreba, who lived up to his name. Your second song choice, When a Man Loves a Woman. I think we will get to that point when you loved a woman also. But I wonder where you threw the business. You were a successful businessman in Uganda. And then you went into education. You were succeeding in education, yes, but you know, never threw business away.
You know, I'm somebody who focuses. If I'm to do something, I ensure that I lay out everything from the beginning to the end. So when I came back to Makerere University, I'd gotten a PhD in computer science. I knew what was out there. I knew what the profession meant and any kind of money you could make. Yeah. And that is why I came with my money. I know that Makerere, they would call me the super director dean. Was driving the best cars, customized, the latest Benzes. I would buy them out of my money. And he was saying, students would say, I want to go to that school, that institute, that faculty.
Because
I want to
that's be like where that the guy. Money is. Hmm? They thought yes.
That's where the money is. Yes. And it was good. Because in a space of 3 years, I raised the student numbers in that school institute from 28 students to 7,000 degree students.
Attraction marketing. You know what it's called? Attraction marketing.
So when I went to Norway, the colleague I had as a partner had sold the school. You know, we never used, we trust people. That's when I learned, trusting people is not good enough.
You were owning and running it together, but when you went away,
when I went,
your partner
started. Sold.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so when I came back, I just looked at him, I said, you know,
it's okay.
It's God who gives, God who takes. I'm going to make more money. And I actually made more money than
your partner sold and didn't give you your card.
No, he didn't.
Oh, dear.
And I left him. Yeah. But he was from our village. When I started working as a director at Makerere University, I also started a consultancy firm called ICT Consults, which is still there today.
Yeah.
I'm still the chairman and managing director. Oh. So I said, for us, computer science or law, you can never teach those courses or those disciplines without practicing. Exactly. If you can't go to court and adjudicate a case, what are you teaching students in the classroom? So for us, we felt that if you're going to teach computer science, you must be able to consult, advise people outside your own institution, bring that knowledge in the classroom.
Yeah.
So I did that, but it was small because I was focused. So I wanted to focus on the university. So I gave the university 99.9% of my time. And it meant everything else had to be set aside.
Yes.
And then I would work on Saturday, Sunday for the university. And I never asked for any overload. And I would be in office by 5, leave after midnight. And I was opposite the guest house. Mm. So the guest house was near. I would go there and take my tea or even eat food. Mm. I never even had time to go down and go to eat at home. I would eat at home over the weekend. So I did that because I wanted to cause a change in a shorter period. Okay. I'm the kind of person who doesn't believe in staying in a place for a long time.
For long, yeah.
So I did that. The institute was converted into a faculty in a space of 4 years. I did that again. By the time I left the faculty to go to the center to be vice chancellor, the faculty was the biggest at Makerere. Wow. It was generating more than a third of the income for the university. Then I went to the center of the university. I became vice chancellor and I did what I did in 3 years. But before I went there, I was training so many people in all public universities in Uganda. Since you have human capital in the area of ICT and related areas in the country. So, but I knew there was money in the private sector.
Okay.
But I was saying, I have to first do public service.
Yes.
Serve the people. So when the time came to leave the vice chancellor at Makerere, I told them, I'm also leaving the university. Because I wanted to leave Makerere University to retire at 40.
Mm.
At 40, I became vice chancellor.
Ah, okay.
So 3 years later, I left the VC position. Mm. I told them, I'm out. They said, no, but you can go on sabbatical. We shall keep on the payroll. I said, no.
Mm.
I got out.
You leave the vice chancellor role, but stay in the university.
Yeah, I refused.
Wow.
And I handed over on the 6th of September, 2012.
Fully, everything.
Yes, everything. And on 7th, I started UTAM, Uganda Technology and Management University.
Had you believed that you had done all you could? For you, it was a case of,
you know, even Jesus never finished everything.
Okay.
If I stayed maybe for another 5 years, the university would have been much more different. But I had done all the basics that needed to be done. And then I continue doing other businesses.
On the side.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to see that probably, you know how everyone finds their passion or purpose or whatever they want to define it. Yours was to teach in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was in business. You always wanted to give knowledge. You learn, you give, you learn, you give. That's what it seems like to me, even in all
even
the roles.
Even to really
mentor.
Empower other people,
yes.
Mentor and so on.
Yeah.
And so, and now when I left Makerere University, that's why I started chairing several boards.
Yes.
I would say even boards of private universities. They say, but you have a university, why are you doing this? See, I'm passing on knowledge. It's about partnership.
Yes.
So I wanted to create that impact. Mm. And I think I did it in a way.
What's your third song choice?
God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. Yes. We all have plans. Mm. But only God who knows. You know, before like you are created, God knows what you are going to be.
Yes. He's already written the chapter.
Yes. Mm. Like you see people aspiring for various positions, but God knows who will be who.
Indeed, indeed.
So you have to put your trust in God. You have to go with God's plan. You know,
right?
His master plan.
Indeed.
So that's why I'm always happy.
You leave room.
Because when I look at what God has prepared me for, I say, thank you, Lord.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. Show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Desert Island Discs, Professor Baria. Vanessa Spadamadeva, you're the former Vice Chancellor for Makerere University. Probably your tenure at Makerere University. I do not know what it was. Maybe because you're a bit, you know, friendly and hyper and, you know, you were quite popular.
No, I was popular.
Why were you popular?
I will tell you. First of all, I was young. People would see me at campus, they would think I was a student. Even when the first time I went to Senate, I was so young. And when I stopped to speak, they wondered, is that a student? Then the VC was Professor Sewufu. Said, that's Dr. Baria Mureba. He's now the Director Institute of Computer Science. They were like, and then I could easily fit in with students,
relate,
with staff,
yeah.
And I really wanted to really help the students. But others also told me that I was handsome. And also, others would tell me that I have nice hands. I remember when I was chairing meetings at the faculty, I would see people looking at me. People would always come to me.
Yeah.
Like, I always had a solution for anything people had. This person would listen. Like, maybe I want to have a scholarship, I have a financial problem, I have this. I would listen and always try to come up with a solution. Yeah. And I don't remember anybody who came to me with a problem and I failed to find a solution.
Right.
Either I had to give him my own money, or I have to give you institutional money. Like, maybe you are sick. Or maybe you have your wife who is very sick. Needs maybe to go to India. And you don't have the money. And you come to me. I will not look for them. I will not advertise. But you come, I'll find a solution for you.
Wow.
Before I became VC, people would have to go and beg to get these letters for writing grants, from a vice chancellor and so on. I told them you don't have to come back to my office for such. They would send them on email to my personal assistant. And there was a deadline. Within 24 hours, the person should have a response. So I made it easier for people
To succeed and to thrive. Was there a tough time or a tough day in your tenure as Vice Chancellor that you would look at and say, even I felt that?
Institutional politics. You know, you can mean well for an institution, but you'll find that you spend more than half of your time fighting those who don't want progress in the institution. And I had them at all levels, whether it is at within top management, they were there. I remember when I was now going through the process of registering the colleges at Makerere University, having them gazetted, having their approvals. I had a university secretary who was anti that. And you know, the university secretary is the accounting officer, is like the person in charge of council minutes and all that. He's in management. And I said, how do I deal with this person? And for me, whenever I start a problem, I always get an answer.
You have to get an answer.
So I said, for this period, I'm going to make myself busy. I won't be having so many management meetings because I have to report to management. Yeah. So I'll spend 3 weeks without management meeting. I'm busy, but I'm busy working on the other things. By the time I go to management and report, things have moved so far away.
Right.
The next time I'm there, I tell them, you know, we have already sent the gazette to Entebbe. So please pay the money. Or if I want to pay it, I'll pay the money and say, people will find the money I've already paid for the gazette.
Oh dear.
And that's it. So those were tough times. But of course, there was also like another tough time when the people like I had at Makerere, I disagreed with them in principle. There's certain things I can't do. I'm there and somebody's always asking me, can I have money? Can I have money? No, that becomes something else. Tell you, I empower you to give you something to do, but you have to make your own money.
Okay.
Then somebody came to me and said, you know, can you now give me like a dean of this school? Because at that time we were structuring the university. We created colleges, created schools. So I was the one to first appoint acting people
roles,
for 2 years. They brought a list. I said, no, this I can't appoint. Me wanted to succeed.
Okay.
And then from that moment, we started fighting. That's how you saw, if you saw that is.
Because it's either you are making friends or you are making results. And for
so
you,
they
chose
said,
the
we
results.
Are going to fight this guy. And they did. Hey. At one point, people had almost thought that I had raped somebody. They had to get a lady who was sending emails to my account as VC. I ignored it. Not only they are creating like evidence, superficial evidence. Then finally say, this guy raped me. I see the person like me really. In this word, you know how many women are in this country? How would anybody rape a woman? For what? But I was satisfied I had a wife. But I had to go through that. And even some of my supporters, like donors, they, you know, when they say rape, they believe it. They start saying, we can't work with this guy. They start wanting to cut funding. Until it was later when that actually had been set up. And there was no rape and so on. And I've seen some guy, American guy, who is suffering. So this guy is there, whatever. I say, hey, you not advertise on Google and so on, YouTube, because... Just allegations. Somebody comes up with allegations and then people suffer. So I realized actually in life, never make people suffer. We have to do the right thing all the time.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, I never follow up anybody. Revenge, I leave it to God. I never revenge on anybody. That's why I know me. I'll go to heaven. Because I'm going to do good for the rest of my life.
You already have a spot in heaven.
Yes.
Let me ask about politics. You said institutional politics.
Yes.
I don't understand how you come from that sort of dirt to then choose the real dirt.
The real dirt.
The real politics. And said, oh, this wasn't enough of a problem. I'll go for the highest office in the country. What annoyed you to become president?
No, nothing annoyed me.
Yeah.
You see, I was born and was called Bariam Rev. So they will see me for my works.
There you go.
There was a time when was a watchman in this country. President Museveni said he's not going to contest. Isabella said he would not contest unless there are reforms. There was nobody else coming up.
No one wanted and to like, contest.
Yes. Then I made the announcement. When I made the announcement, he said, no, I'm running. Then a month later, Amaman Babas came up and said, I'm also running. Then after that, Kizabeshi joined the race. Then NRM Museveni was waiting for NRM. Came in and I said, I'm already there. I can't get out.
Yeah.
And the issue was that I had my money. I was not looking for anybody to give me any funding. Nobody gave me a single coin.
Really?
Nobody. And if anybody ever came up, he wants to be struck by lightning. I went to every part of this country because my vehicles could get anywhere. I was using Benz, GL 500, these real big Benzes. At that time, people thought I was the president. I would get the president and say,
when you'd arrive, they're like, yes, the president.
But they see this young guy coming out. They say, Abum 7 is very old. So I went to every part of this country. I was able to see poverty firsthand. I was able to see progress. I was able to see the bad roads and everything. I said, wow, this is the country I live in.
For some reason, people had labeled you, and I don't know if it was just because that is a season of, it was a heated season. But what, people for some reason didn't think you were serious.
I was serious.
Yeah.
And I was a very strong candidate. And people like Besigye, they felt that, Besigye has had that streak, by the way, for a long time. But now it's catching up with him, Kanukiza Besigye. Said, if we label this guy, in his party, he had already told them, I rig for NRM, that I would tamper with ESC, Electoral Commission, systems to rig for President Museveni, which I've never done. But he would tell them and he would believe it. Then he said, that is the Museveni more. He has planted him to divide our votes. That people like ran away from me.
Yeah.
It was only when we moved towards the nomination, I saw that the tensions were rising. Me, I'm an ICT person, So one of the things I do, information security, computer security, I can know what you're doing around me without you having to tell me. But they also have like ambassadors, eh? Because most of the people who used to work in all these agencies, eh? I trained them from Makerere, and they had a soft spot for me. Hey, buddy, you know,
check out this.
So there was also tension in some camp, I want to mention. Say, this guy is going to take the Catholic vote. Eh? And then because I was strong, I don't receive the communication from New Vision, from Monitor NTV. Like they are going to give me people to cover me, to go with me. You get it? So now I realized it was going to be big. Mm. But then I realized there was a lot of tension.
Right.
And I knew President Museveni would win at any cost.
Okay.
And I knew I was also standing now in his way.
Mm.
So I weighed and I said, if I'm not going to win,
mm-hmm.
I want to minimize the damage.
Okay.
I went to for nomination, when I finished nomination, I stayed home for 7 days without campaigning anywhere. Because I was going to go out there with a lot of energy, and then whatever would have happened, I don't know. Because people are now into me. I support anybody NRM presents.
Oh dear.
You understand?
Capable or not capable, you just support them.
I support a party.
Mm, okay.
So the party decides on whom to put.
Okay.
Even if they put Tamari Merundi.
You just go with the flow.
I'm supporting the party.
Okay. Understood. What's your next song choice, Pop? Hey, oh dear.
The next song, eh?
Mm.
Wamba Wechebaruma.
Juliana Kanyomozi. It's yes. Perfect. Yes. We won't say which camps is meaning Chibaruma.
You remember that issue I had with Makera and so on?
Yes.
You know, people always have to, you know, fight you. So Chibaruma, some people don't even want to see you progress. And when I left Makera, they've seen me progress.
Yes.
I'm very okay. I've progressed.
For Uganda.
Desert Island Disc Professor Vanessa Spadiamneva, former Vice Chancellor for Makerere University. Juliana Kanyomozi's Chibaluma was your song choice. The list is endless who you dedicated that song to. But so the politics was I can do it, I have tried it, and you've seen my capabilities. You didn't really go back to that sphere of things.
Of what?
So now when you're out of Makere actively, the role of presidency, you know, you put it aside. Did you then throw yourself into business? Or because you already had the UTAM?
Yes.
Yes.
I had UTAM as a university. But you see, when I left Makere University 2013, I was given a very critical position. You know, the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa. I was given the role of chairperson of the COMESA Innovation Council.
Yeah.
What it meant that we were supposed to advise ministers of science and technology, ICT, and heads of state on science, technology, and innovation.
Right.
And being like, I can call myself smart, I think. So I would chair that council. I would interact with the heads of state. I would interact with the ministers. I would, even some governments would invite me to go on and meet with some of their cabinet ministers. We are looking at how you can integrate innovation into like all sectors of the economy and so on. Like if you want to have startups, you want to improve the private sector, how do you use science? How do you use ICT to make those sectors thrive and so on? So we'd always give out the innovation awards at Heads of State Summit. So through that, what I can tell you was that I got connections.
Your network.
So I started, yes, and I was smart at that. You remember from childhood, I started consulting for various partner states.
Yes.
Like you find the head of state saying, Baria,
what do you
can think? You come and check out our thing here? I say, I'll come. You come, you go to country X, they find actually you have the expertise, you know what you're talking about. Hey, it's okay, you know what you're going to do? You have to do a non-disclosure agreement. I have no problem. So you open your account, you do a non-disclosure, you make your money, they put it on your account.
Yeah.
So I started making money through that. And then I focused on the consultancy. I focused on the university. Then I focused also on other things, small business here and there, farming, this and that, you know. I'm okay and I'm happy. And many of those have benefited from my services because I'm good at what I do. One day I'll tell you what I do.
You know, some people might look at your life and anyone's life who's successful and they always say that some will allude it to luck. Others will say connections, like you said. Somebody else will allude it to money. If you lost everything, would you repeat your line to success?
Definitely. I got my PhD when I was 29. I became the first professor in Africa to become a full professor at the age of 35. And that was at Makerere. Nobody favored me. You get it? And I started working as a dean without any experience. From my PhD, I became a dean because there was nobody else with a PhD in that area. So I look at the most important thing I have is actually my knowledge, not even my paper. I don't need a piece of paper like I'm presenting my PhD, whatever certificate. It's what I do with the knowledge I have. Today, I can lose everything. Everything.
Yeah.
But in this same month, I can get a contract of ₦500 million. So I can only stand up. Yeah. So to me, what people should treasure is not a piece of paper. And that's why we tell people, don't continue studying. I see people getting 5 master's degrees, when you have 3 PhDs.
Yeah.
You don't need them.
Okay.
What you need is that knowledge. And the other thing I've realized that lacks, and one of the things I would do if I had that power, I would ensure that in this country, from primary up to senior 4, everybody must study mathematics, English, which they do.
Yes.
But for senior 5 and senior 6, I would make it mandatory that every student must still do mathematics. Mm-hmm. Like this conversation you're having 3
yes.
would add another subject. The 4th one which you have to add. Whether you're doing hair, whether you're doing leg, mathematics would be added onto you. You do math up to senior 6. Math, there's a way it helps you. It's very good when it comes to decision making. It helps you to analyze situations. You know, math has a lot as mathematics. So you can be there and see somebody thinking like he has no mathematical background. You see somebody doing something, when you do the computation in the head, you don't have to use a calculator. See, this doesn't work. So for me, that's a skill that I would ensure everybody has. And I saw the Prime Minister of UK wants to introduce mathematics. It's a good thing. But I don't know why it's successful. If you go to China, South Korea, those countries that are really advancing very fast, most of their children, like 90% of their children, study math and they are good at it. So it's a component that we need.
Right. You gave us one of your songs as I've Got You, Babe. And when you were connecting your life dots, you talked about your hours of work, your life ambitions. But you also proudly spoke about those two princesses in your life. Did you get a babe?
A babe? Yes, I did.
You did?
And you know, I was very nationalistic. I had to get her naturally.
What?
Yes, I had to marry somebody from home. And that was at the height of that Konyi, you know, insurgency. So you know when like you are home and some Banyankore come and they are talking in Runyankore and then they start having that discussion about Konyi by looking at the lady who is brown, not only she's an actual, and then you have that discussion.
The expectation of me, she's black, dark black.
You know what happens. But Tina was a nationalist, as you can see. Wow. Had crossed borders, and we said love crosses borders.
It clearly did.
And have two beautiful daughters.
I wonder how, when you got time to convince her, you were a busy mathematician, and when did you have this time? You were working morning to morning, weekend to weekend.
That's what I said when a man loves a woman.
You let go of everything.
It's like your life chase. You have to chase it until you get it.
How old are the two princesses?
2001 and then 2004.
Spoken like a real man. He's trying to figure out.
21 years and this one is in 19.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Is fatherhood fulfilling?
Very much. Very much. You know, like you ask yourself when you are working, what am I working for?
Yeah.
You feel like you have people. You need to have as the next, like, to take over from you to be the next generation. So it feels like it's really.
It adds to you.
But you know, I've had this talk with people who say, but you need to have a boy.
I was about to come to that. You're in a very deep African society.
Yes, but for me, you know, I look at children. And some people think that a girl cannot indicate your property. But that's that other culture. But actually, what people don't know, that even you can have a boy and somebody else produces that boy for you. But is it, haven't you heard of this DNA thing?
Someone else's child inherits your life, In hindsight, now you look at your life, what's, because I get you're busy, you're still doing your own work. Actually, you got the best thing out of everything. You have knowledge. So no matter the age or where you are, you can work.
Yes.
You know, anywhere in the world.
I don't want to continue working until I'm like 70. You know,
you want
now
to retire.
I'm 54. So I'm giving it another maximum 6 years.
Okay. So 60 is a dot.
Yeah. But I'm you know, like, I'm employing myself. I'm doing what I love, and I do it when I want to. So nobody is asking me, can you wake up? And no, at I wake up when I want. I work when I want. But I find myself working most of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Will you manage to jump from working all the time to not working at 60?
That's what I'm basically doing right now. Because I want to ensure that whatever I'm doing,
I
have other people to do it.
Right.
So most of what I do now is like supervisory, really.
Right.
I know what we are supposed to do. I get teams to do it.
And
I supervise them. I ensure everything is done properly. I'm accountable to the person who is giving us the work.
Yes.
So I have to submit what is acceptable, not
anything.
And that's why people are happy with me.
Okay.
When I give you my report, you say, this guy went to school.
But let me ask you, Prof, do you realize that you speak so confidently of yourself?
Really?
That's a skill all of us should learn. I don't even know if it's a skill. That's something we should all do. Because sometimes we're our own downfall. You speak of yourself
because
while saying, I might.
I believe in myself. And I never believe that I can fail to do anything.
Right.
No. Even if, like, I was to go to heaven, like in broad daylight, and I come back. If I believe in it, you'll see me go. In broad daylight, I go and come back.
If you believe it.
Yes. I'll push that level.
Wow.
But what I'm saying is that maybe I can believe it and I tell you, hey, maybe at this hour you'll see the sun and the moon up in the sky and you see them. Say, hey.
You will find a way to convince us. Wow.
I'm excited of having gone to heaven.
Wow. It's honestly, I've enjoyed this interview. I want to ask you as we wind up, if we're talking success and someone is listening at whatever age they're at and you want to tell them what you believe is the secret or the source to success, whether it's one or two things you want to leave them with at whatever point
the secret to success is you have to first believe in yourself.
Yes.
And whatever you want to do, you must believe in it and must love it. That's why I always discourage people from doing something they are not interested in. Like somebody say, you go looking for a job, you say, I can't do anything. Never do that. You have to have a heart for what you
something.
Want yes. Because that's what's going to keep you going.
Yes.
And I used to tell even PhD students, if you don't love what you are doing, change the subject. Because you never finish that PhD. And once you have that belief that you can actually achieve, if you can't do it alone, you must get a team. But you have to get the right team.
Oh.
And people go wrong. That's why I laugh at these discussions on the net. Tribalism, nepotism, whatever they are saying. If you want to succeed, you have to put the right people.
Right.
That's why for me, when I was VC at Makerere, who those guys I put there to be like next to me? Dumba, Professor Dumba, became the next VC after me. Nawangwe was also a principal of a college, came in after Dumba, and several others. So I had to pick people I felt with a certain caliber.
Capable.
Yes, you have to have the right team.
Yeah.
So if you are in a private institution, if you're in a public institution, you may have those things they call nepotism, tribalism, but look at merit also.
First.
Get the people who can get work done. That's how you'll succeed. Because at the end of the day, you must deliver.
Yes.
Yes. So for me, that's what has made me what I am.
Fantastic. As we wrap, want to hear your final song choice. By the way, just to let you know that Prof came with how many song choices?
Mm.
15.
I had like 15. 15. I don't know whether...
Song choices.
Whether I give you everything I do it for you, or I give you, Brian Adams, I've got you, baby.
Lucky Dube.
Yes.
So which are you feeling closer to?
Close.
Do you actually listen to music a lot?
I do. I think I should be... I go with the I've got you, baby, you know? I'm coming to the end of this show. It's a lovely song. Yeah. It's a lovely show. Mm-hmm. You know? So everybody out there, I've got them.
You are generally a happy man.
Yes, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why I never have wrinkles.
Oh.
Because I never ever waste a single moment of my life sad. I have to be either working or happy.
Okay.
And my laughter is genuine. And I never like try to. You know, people can try to laugh, eh? But mine is genuine. And if I'm in a room, you hear me in another.
Oh dear,
10
those
rooms
people.
Across. Eh? Yes, the body is there. Yes.
Lucky Dube, the late Lucky Dube, I've Got You Baby is our final song. Thank you so much, Prof, for your time and for sharing your story. And I'm still trying to picture that 5-year-old who realized eggs at half the price. I'll get into business. May we all have this sort of skill, innate skill born within us. Before I let you go, I think people, you mentioned that business is both things. There's that thing that is within you inborn, and then there's that thing that you nurture. But given that we're a country that, yes, we start businesses, but we never continue the businesses after about a year or so, why are we failing so much?
We are failing because we engage in what we don't believe in. You know, somebody will tell you have to be born a businessman. No. You can't, people may not be born with those skills. Okay. You know, some of those skills you get them from our parents. Eh? If your parents have a car, you start driving before you are 10. Eh? If your parents are like medical doctors, you end up as a medical doctor. If they are lawyers, you know those things, they happen.
Yeah, proximity.
Because of their environment. But I can assure you, some of the best business people, look at those in America. They were never born in a business family.
Yeah.
They never inherited. Eh? Look at Elon Musk and others. They never inherited that.
Yeah.
So what is important is for you to have that commitment to succeed.
Yes.
And you look at a challenge, I say, I'm going to provide a solution. Mm-hmm. And most people look at simple challenges. Eh? I always tell people, think big. Mm-hmm. Look at a global challenge, a big challenge. That's where money is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because a bigger challenge, if it's global, you're going to solve a global problem.
Yeah.
Like look at people who came up with mobile money. They knew they were going to touch several communities in the villages, the rural areas. Then you have a solution. Mm-hmm. You have money. But some people come up with a solution. That is like just
the community.
Yes.
Yeah.
So first of all, regardless of who you are, nobody should ever tell you can't be what you want to be.
Right.
If you believe in it, you'll be.
Absolutely.
But of course, not everybody can be president. So I don't want people to say, I'm going to be president.
Because Professor
that
said
is one
we
position.
Are,
yes. That's one position. And we every 5 years, one person holds it.
And so we should really think elsewhere.
There are these things out there.
Yes.
That you, when you want to be, like business, nobody will stop you. But of course, you don't say, I want to be. To be like, I want to manufacture planes. Start where you can actually manage.
Right.
Yes. So you have to look at, scan the environment. And so you can, for example, first go to the village and become a farmer. Generate some money. Then come to town and start maybe a shop, whatever you want to do, a workshop. From there, you find yourself in Kampala.
Right.
With workshops and all that stuff. So you have to decide how to start. Yeah, at times where we start from is a challenge. I've seen people who start within the city here. And within a year or two, they end up in the village. Because the ground rent takes all the money and they have nothing left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely.
You're welcome.
That's it for Desert Island Disc. You can catch this and many others on our podcast or anywhere you get podcasts. Capital FM Uganda. Good night. Now that I found you, baby.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.